Well, all hail King Jesus. Give the Lord a big hand here on Easter morning. Good morning and happy Easter Encounter family. And I say we give the Lord one more hand because he is risen this morning. Oh, well, that was wonderful. You know, my name is John. If we haven't ever met before, I'm one of the pastors here at Encounter, and I couldn't be more excited to be celebrated the risen Jesus Christ with all of you this morning. It is just truly good to be here with you. And what a joy to see what God is doing in the lives of people, because every one of these folks who was baptized just a moment ago is a story, is a testimony of someone who had a breakthrough in their life through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in the moment when we baptize someone, as they're going under the water, what we say to them is buried with him in baptism as this symbol of our life being forgiven through the death of Jesus Christ. And then as we come out of the water, we feel the water coming off of us as this symbol of going into new life. And we say, risen to walk a brand new life. One of the things I love doing is baptizing people. I've literally had the privilege of probably baptizing hundreds of people. And I was thinking of one that stood out in my mind in particular, and you'll understand why in a moment. It was because it was my son Josh last summer. We were doing baptisms out here in the ocean. And Austin, our youth pastor, it's good to have them back from the Ireland. We have our Ireland team back. Can we give them a hand over there? So we have a bunch of students that went on a mission trip together, but Austin and I were baptizing Josh, and he's 19 years old at the time, and he had come to this place in his life where he wanted to declare publicly that God had done something in his life, where he wanted to live for the Lord. I talked to him about this yesterday, with all of his heart, and he wanted to worship the Lord with all of his heart. And when Austin and I baptized Josh, he went under the water in the ocean, and as he came out, he was so excited and had so much passion and joy, he thought it'd be really fun if he started splashing Austin and I, and he just soaked me. And I've always gotten wet in baptisms, but I mean, we got really wet. But he wasn't done yet. He was so excited and just celebrating what the Lord was doing in that moment. In the midst of the splashing, he went into a victory pose with two double fists and came up like this with the water going everywhere. And if you know my son, he's strong. He lifts, and his right hand hooked me right in the face. I mean, I'm talking right here, right below the lower eye socket and the upper cheek. And honestly, it hurt because he hit me so hard. But you know what? I didn't care because God was doing a breakthrough in my son's life. And the breakthroughs that we just witnessed a moment ago in this little pool of water that's like out of water. I don't know how we ever got Tyler underwater. That last one, he's so tall. It's so wonderful to see what God's doing in his life. But the miracle of what we saw in this tub of water is that it began some 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ walked out of the grave on Easter morning. Because before the sun came up on Easter morning, it looked like everything was sealed for the worst. Jesus was dead. All hope was gone. And then on Easter morning, as the sun came up, Christ broke through sin and death and created victory in that moment for us. And not only in that moment did he break free from the grave, but what he also did is he made a way for you and for me because of his love for us in that moment. And that is why Peter, the apostle Peter, having witnessed the resurrected Christ, after years of dedicating his life to following him, probably 30 years later, writes these words in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, where he says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And before I go a step further, I want to take a few moments to share how anyone in this room, anyone listening online, can begin a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ this morning. And the reason I want to start there is because it's the most important breakthrough relationship that we can have with God. And, you know, usually, honestly, this is where I end the message. But today it's where I want to start it, because I want to invite us all to a series of breakthroughs at the end of our time together here today. But honestly, knowing Jesus begins by getting real with God about our sin and our brokenness that has separated us from Him. And then choosing to trust in what Jesus did on the cross and dying for our sin for us and rising again to prove His power over it and to invite us into life with Him. And then we invite Jesus into our heart as our forgiver and also as our leader, as our Savior together. And the Bible says it this way in Romans 4:25, that Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God. In other words, the reason that Jesus went to that cross wasn't random. It was personal. It was because of His love for you and His love for me. And the truth is that every one of us has been ravaged by sin, and it's caused us to drift, and it's created a distance between us and God apart from Jesus. And in many ways, sin impacts us in deeper ways than we can imagine. And it's kind of like our phone screen. Have you ever noticed how our phones break like after 3 years? There's something crazy about that. We got to replace them every 3 years or so. But it's almost like our phone screens come into this world with a microfracture in them. Because after a little bit of time of using them, if you drop them just right, then there's this crack on the screen that starts. And you can still use your phone, you can still text, you can still scroll, but the more you use it and then you drop it again and, you know, the crack just gets a little bit bigger. And before you know it, everything you see on the screen is being filtered through those cracks. And no matter how hard you try to wipe your screen clean, you can't fix it, because what's broken is actually broken inside. And that's really what forgiveness from sin is all about in our life. And the Bible puts it pretty straightforward. All of us have sinned. And you're probably sitting next to someone, you're like, well, I'm not surprised they have, but I'm not always sure about myself, you know. But it says all of us have sinned. And the really good news is Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages or the result of sin is death, but the good news is the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, receiving Christ's forgiveness and realizing our need for His forgiveness and that we don't always measure up means that we realize that we don't always even measure up to our own standards, right? We don't, do we? Let alone to God's holiness and His love. I remember some years ago when I was a young adult, not that long ago, I was camping. Why are you laughing? I was camping with my friend Jeff, and we had heard about this spot, these sand dunes just north of Santa Cruz. We'd never been there, and someone had told us about it, and so we wanted to go there. So we showed up there, found this spot, and when we got there, there was this huge sign, and in really big letters, it said, no camping, all right? And a whole bunch of other things you weren't supposed to do there as well. But being the law-abiding citizens that we were at the time, we decided to unload all of our gear there on the side of Highway 1, and, you know, our camping gear, our firewood, our stove. I had my dog with me, and, you know, just all the stuff. And Jeff left me with our gear, and then he went and hid his car behind this old abandoned restaurant, and he walked back, and we carried everything into the sand dunes. We had a great night camping. And then the next day, we brought everything out to the side of the road, and there I was waiting in front of a sign that said, no camping, no dogs, no fires, and no parking, all right? And all of a sudden, as I'm standing in front of this sign with my dog, my camping gear, our fire equipment, the only thing I didn't have was a car, but it was obviously coming. As I'm standing there on the side of the road by myself, this police officer drives right up, like out of nowhere on Highway 1, and he parks right in front of me, rolls down his window, and proceeds to engage in a very lively conversation with me in that moment. And as he's talking to me, all I could do was apologize. But as he's talking to me, I see my friend Jeff driving down Highway 1 in his car. He slows down as he sees the police officer, rolls down his window, waves at me, and just disappears somewhere over the skyline to never be seen again. And fortunately, this police officer was really kind. He had extreme grace, and he just gave me a verbal warning that day. But, you know, admitting our sin before a loving Savior is kind of a brand new thing to some of us sometimes. The Bible has a very powerful word for it. It's called repentance, where I ask for forgiveness based on what Christ has already done for me on the cross that he did in my place that I couldn't do for myself before a holy God. And then we invite him into our life as our Savior. And the moment that someone does that, it is the greatest breakthrough relationship possible on the face of the planet. And Romans 4:25 says that Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Now, I want you to think about this. What does it mean that Jesus was handed over on that cross to die for our sins and that he was raised up for us? Now, how many of you have ever shopped at Costco or Trader Joe's? Let's see the hands out there. That's impressive. That's a lot of you. And I know that's true because I run into you there all the time. I don't run into you at Winco, a few of you, but I run into most of you at Trader Joe's and Costco, occasionally Lowe's or something like that. But, you know, at Trader Joe's on Sunday on Victoria, after the second service here at Encounter, you can pretty much catch the third service of Encounter at Trader Joe's on Victoria. I'm telling you, you can. And I like to wear Aloha shirts on Sunday because I used to live in Hawaii. And when I wear my Aloha shirt from church to Trader Joe's on Sunday, I feel like I should be checking out the groceries at the end because I feel like I look like one of the staff over there. But if you go to Costco on Sunday, it is a glorious experience, isn't it? I mean, I'm telling you, there are so many tasters on Sunday at Costco that if you haven't had lunch, you can not only get enough food for lunch, but if you take a second lap, you can have enough food for dinner by the time that you're done. And then when you go through the checkout line, you pay for your groceries, and they give you this really special thing called a receipt. And if you are a professional Costco shopper, you know in that moment, you don't put it in your pocket. You don't put it in your wallet. You don't put your receipt in your purse because you know you've been trained that when you get to the front door of Costco, a really nice Costco employee is going to ask you to show them your receipt. And when they ask you for your receipt, you pull it out with pride and confidence because you know that everything in your cart has been bought and paid for and you're never going to have to pay for it again. And then they pretend to count the things in your cart, right? I don't know what they do. They have some sort of system. I'm sure they know what they're doing. But they do something, and then they mark your receipt. And if you happen to have a young child with you, you might even get a smiley face on your receipt, right? I don't have young children anymore, so I still ask for the smiley face. I'm just telling you, I do half the time. Sometimes I get one. Sometimes they look at me like I'm crazy, and that's okay. My older kids don't run when I do that. But anyway, you know, and then they say you're free to go, all right, in that moment. Now, here's the thing. Many people in this world believe we can never be free from the sins of our past. Many people believe we can never be free from our failures and that we can have a breakthrough with God again. But the story of Easter morning declares that we can. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead on Easter morning, God the Father printed across the pages of history, paid in full. And now anyone can come freely based on Christ's free gift of grace into a full-on loving relationship with the God of heaven through what Jesus Christ has done for us. And that is why Peter says this, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, just this last summer in Torrey Pines State Beach, There was a swimmer out in the ocean. He got caught in a riptide. Maybe you read about it. It was a bad riptide that day. And he kept fighting the tide. He kept getting pulled further and further out. And he kept getting more and more tired. And he was just about to go under. And fortunately, there was a lifeguard on duty there that day. And he saw this man swimming and saw him about to go under and getting pulled farther and farther out. So he grabbed his rescue board and sprinted into the water with it, just like in the movies, you know. And he swam out there to this guy. And in that moment, this man who was just about to go under had a choice. He could continue to try to save himself, or he could receive the help of the person who had come to rescue him. And he grabbed onto that board and welcomed the ride back to shore, and he was brought to safety. And here's the point. It is not enough that help was available. It is not even enough that someone came for him. The moment everything changed was when he decided to stop trying to save himself and trust the one who came to save him. And this is what this means. It's one thing to say on Easter morning 2026 that Jesus saves. It is a whole nother thing on Easter morning 2026 to say, Jesus, I trust you to save me based on what you did on that cross for me freely because of your love for me, and to begin a relationship with him. And what I want to do right now is have you listen to the words of a song that the team's going to come out and sing. And as you're listening to these words, I think there might be some people in the room today and you haven't yet embraced Jesus as your Savior. Maybe today's your day. And as you listen to these words, just let God speak to you. Invite him to speak to you. And if you already know the Lord, just rest in the goodness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us.
I was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. And sin separated, the breach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight.
So you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope.
Thank you, Jesus, for
the blood applied.
Thank you, Jesus,
it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the dark. Place laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, then you walked right out again. Now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Thank you, Jesus, you have saved. rise into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by a Father through the blood. The blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You brought me from the darkness into glorious light.
You know, I just wonder if there's a few of you today, you knew it was going to be a different day from the moment you woke up because God's been speaking to you, and he's continued to speak to you since you walked into this room, and you're ready. You weren't ready before, but you're ready today on Easter 2026 to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when someone is ready to do that, what happens is this cosmic and yet very personal transaction takes place, where all of the sin and the guilt and shame that we carry on our life and carry on our shoulders and that weighs us down is actually transferred over to the shoulders of Christ. And all of his righteousness that he declared on the cross for us, and his forgiveness and his love and his mercy and his grace and his very presence through the Holy Spirit is actually transferred over to our life as we begin a relationship with him. And if you're ready to begin that relationship, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. And it's not about getting the words just right. It's really just about meaning it in your heart. And so I'm going to ask all of us to bow our heads. And if someone's ready to trust Christ as their Savior, just say something like this to God this morning. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus because of your love for me. Thank you that I can be born again. Thank you for handing over him for my sins on that cross and paying for them. And I ask for forgiveness based on what Jesus did for me, and I receive it wholeheartedly. And I thank you for now raising me to new life, and I want to invite you into my heart, not just as my forgiver, but as my leader and my Lord, and I want to begin to follow you and learn what it means to grow with you and to live for you, God. And with everybody's heads bowed, if there's some people in this room right now that received Christ as your Savior, this is a great day for you. This is the greatest breakthrough relationship you can have. And I would just ask anybody in the room who did accept Christ to just look up and raise a hand, and just so I can celebrate with you, just get eye contact with me out there and raise a hand out there. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Praise God. It's a great day. Amen. I'm so happy for you. That is so great. I don't want to miss you. Anybody out there in the back, just let me know. We're just celebrating with you as a church. Praise God. Amen. All the way in the back row there. What a great day as you've begun your relationship with the Lord. We just want to take a moment as an entire family to thank God for what he's doing in all your lives right now. And so let's pray together. Father, we thank you for every person who you welcomed into your great kingdom and family just now. Lord, we ask that you would just lift them up into new life as they begin to learn what it means to know and follow you. And we thank you that we got to be here as eternities were changed. And we give you the glory. in your precious name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You know, I told you I'm going in reverse today, so some of you think I'm done already. I'm just getting warmed up. I'm going to tell them to turn off the AC and let's go. No, I'm just kidding. What you just experienced a minute ago is where breakthrough begins. And what I want to take just a few moments to share with all of us right now are the breakthroughs that God wants to continue to lead us in, because we all need the resurrection hope of Jesus Christ this morning. And I wonder where you are holding on to hope today for God's breakthrough in your life right now. Because the same Peter who wrote those words in 1 Peter wasn't someone who just heard about these things. He was someone who experienced these things. It's the same Peter who at that one moment in his life was in the boat with Jesus and began to step out of the boat in faith, trying to walk on water, and bloop, 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 he sank in fear. The same Peter who said, "Lord, I will never deny you. How dare you even think that I wouldn't?" And then, man, by the time the rooster crowed, he denied Jesus three times. The same Peter who, after the crucifixion, probably locked himself in the room afterwards, hiding in shame, wondering how he'd ever be right with God again. And then he experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ on that first Easter morning, and it changed everything. And in the book of 1 Peter, he begins by giving us some breakthrough statements that any Christ follower can live in the power of. And he gives us some words to hang on to. And the first breakthrough word that he gives us is the word hope. We've already shared a little bit about it. It says, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And do you know what that means? That your story is not stuck. It is not. It is not the end. And it is not over. And it is not beyond you. And the same living hope that was available to Peter on that first Easter morning is available to us right now. And so whatever is broken in your life, whatever feels impossible in your life, whatever feels like it's holding you back spiritually in your life, here on Easter 2026 is your opportunity to trust the Lord to lead you to his breakthrough in that situation for you. And he will lead us to his breakthroughs for us. Now, I love anything that happens in the Sierras. I love the ocean as well. I lived in Hawaii for a while. But I always find stories, the true stories in the Sierras, and some of you will remember this. There was a snowboarder named Jason Parker, and he was skiing in the Sierras, or snowboarding in the Sierras, and an avalanche happened. And he got swept down the mountain in this avalanche, and as the snow covered him, he thought that it was all over. I mean, he couldn't move. He felt like he couldn't breathe. He was face down, a whole bunch of snow above him. He would later say it felt like he was stuck in a tub of dried concrete. And sometimes we go through things in life and it feels just like that. You feel like you can't breathe. You feel like you can't move. And as the moments began to pass, pretty soon he felt his life waning away from him. He'd been buried for so long. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he felt up on his back. And someone with a rescue probe had found his body underneath the snow. A rescuer had found him. And in that moment, buried in snow, unable to move, he felt this thing called hope. Now think about that. He's still buried. He can't move. He can barely breathe. But he experiences hope because he wasn't alone. And he knew someone was there to rescue him, and that they did. And I want you to know this morning that we fully believe that the presence of Jesus Christ and his living hope is at your back this morning because of the power of the cross. And the presence of God through the power of the resurrection is leading you forward as you follow him with his living hope. And I wonder where you are holding on to hope today for God to do a breakthrough in your life. as you look to him. And the next breakthrough word that we have is the word power, verse 5. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. And so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Peter says we're all walking through trials in this life. And all of us know, though, that even though we're walking through trials, what God is declaring today on Easter morning is that his sustaining joy is there to strengthen us. And you don't have to talk to me to know that there's a lot of griefs in this world that we face because this world has been broken by sin. But God wants us to know that even though life can be uncertain, even though it can feel difficult at times, that God is actively strengthening us with his power and strength, which means this morning that as followers of Jesus Christ, we're not just holding on. We're not. We are being sustained by Jesus. And it is knowing that that begins breakthrough in our life. And I want you to think about what living hope is. Because living hope isn't something that we just celebrate on Easter morning. Living hope is something that we actually live from every day of our life. It's a little bit like if you've ever driven your car and you run out of gas. How many people have done that, by the way? Oh, there's so many more than just raise their hands right now. You know how it happens? You run out of gas. You open your door, you're trying to steer and push at the same time, right? To get off the road, because a lot of times people don't help you. And as you're pushing, you're getting more and more exhausted because let's face it, that's not how cars were designed to run. And so you push harder and you push harder and you get more and more tired because the weight of the car is too much for you to carry. And so many times in our life with Christ, we can do this sometimes. We're pushing and we're striving on our own and we're trying to do it by ourselves and we're getting more and more tired. And yet Jesus didn't come on Easter morning to help us push harder in life. I'm really glad to know that. See, he came on Easter morning so that our greatest strength would not come from us trying to push harder, but that our greatest strength would come from trusting him more and surrendering to him more. In fact, surrender is the greatest way to connect to God's strength in our life and to allow him to bring the breakthrough that he wants to bring in our life. Where are you holding on to hope this morning for God's breakthrough in your life? Because Jesus is alive. Amen. And he lives. And you are not alone. And his presence is at your back through the power of the cross. And his living hope leads you forward through the power of the resurrection. And surrender truly is the best way to connect to his strength and invite him to do a breakthrough in our life. And the next word he gives us is faith. He says it in verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, what the Bible is saying is that faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it becomes, which means that we can actually be incredibly physically weak, we can be sick, and yet we can be tremendously strong through our faith in Christ. And by the way, one of the things that we just love doing here at Encounter is to grow in our faith in Christ. And if you're a guest or newer with us, we'd just love to have you come back next week. We're actually just going to continue on in the book of 1 Peter. We're starting a message series that we're calling Different. We're going to discover how you follow Jesus in a world that doesn't follow him back and how we can have a different kind of courage and a different identity that changes everything for us in this world as we follow him. And we just love for you to be a part of everything that God is doing throughout our church family. But the Bible is declaring that as we exercise our trust in Christ, we grow. And as we grow, there's this beautiful fruit. It says that we give him more glory and honor and praise. Isn't that why we're here this morning? Amen. And then Peter says something. It's like the greatest promise of a never-ending breakthrough. He puts it this way in verse 9. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. I want you to do something right now. I want you to imagine that first Easter morning. And I want you to imagine Peter. And he's running. His heart begins to pound. His feet are pounding in the dust of the road because he just heard the impossible from a group of women, that the tomb is empty, Jesus is alive, and he is risen. And all of the shame and the guilt and all the things that he's feeling inside are swirling around in his head as he runs towards the tomb. And as he's going there, he's thinking to himself, I thought I understood death. I thought I did. And I thought that I understood failure. But all that's being flipped upside down for him in that moment. And he arrives at the tomb. The stone is rolled away and he runs inside. And there folded nicely are the linen cloths that had covered the brutal body of Jesus on the cross when he died for our sins. And the tomb is empty, and the words that have been spoken to him by these women who were the first to witness the risen Jesus Christ are ringing in his head. He is not here. He is risen. He is alive. And not long after that, the risen Christ will meet personally with Peter, not in condemnation, but actually in compassion. And not to remind him of his failures, but actually to restore him from them. And the risen Christ will come to him. He comes to him. He calls Peter by name, and he shares a meal with him, reminding him that his story is not over. In fact, by the grace of God shown on the cross, his story is just beginning. And this moment in Peter's life would be this huge breakthrough that would change everything from him from there on after. Because all of the fear that he had felt that was paralyzing him, it's gone in that moment. All of the guilt for denying Jesus and everything else in his life evaporates in that moment. All of the shame where he's wondering how he's ever going to continue with the Lord again, it's gone in that moment because death is defeated. Hope is alive. And even more importantly, Jesus, the risen Jesus, is with him. And what I want you to know this morning is the same risen Christ who met Peter with his living hope in that moment in Peter's life is here right now through his Holy Spirit, and he wants to meet with you right where you're at. And I wonder this morning, where are you holding on to hope for God's breakthrough in your life right now? Because I actually believe that every one of us in this room, no matter who we are, we carried something in here with us today that the Lord actually wants us to surrender over to him and to invite his breakthrough into our life. So here's what we're going to do right now. On your seats when you came in was a little card, and I asked you to grab those right now. We're calling them breakthrough cards, and there was a pen. Grab your pen and open up that card and just offer up a prayer to God. Lord, where do I need to hold on to hope for your breakthrough in my life? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it is a dynamic at work. Maybe it's something in your relationship with God. And whatever the Lord brings to mind for you, just write it down. Don't think too hard about it. Just write it down, however he leads you. And by writing it down, you're not dictating how God's going to break through. You're inviting him to break through in the way that he wants to. You're not saying you have all the answers this morning. We don't have all the answers this morning. But what you are saying on Easter 2026 is this, that you know Jesus is alive. And that you are not alone, and that his presence is at your back through the power of the cross, and he's leading you forward through his presence, through the power of the resurrection, and that surrender really is the most powerful way to be connected to his strength and to invite his breakthroughs into our life. And so write it down, whatever the Lord is leading you to write down right now. And here's our commitment to you, because what we're going to ask you to do in a moment is to do what Peter did. You know, Peter, when he heard about the resurrection, he ran. He didn't stay where he was. And so we're going to ask you to symbolically to move physically and to take whatever it is that you've written down on your card, the breakthrough that you're inviting the Lord to work in, and symbolically to bring it forward during the next song after we pray and just lay it up here with a bunch of the other ones here from the last service as a picture of surrender. And maybe you're just going to bring a friend with you. Maybe you'll sit and pray or pray together with a friend near you, or maybe you'll just drop it off and go back and spend some time with the Lord. But here's the thing. I want to invite you, even if you got some doubts today, even if you're just like holding on to the edge of hope, even if you have a bunch of questions, you know, Peter didn't have it all figured out when he started running towards the tomb on Easter morning. And just bring what you have. And God will receive it. And invite him to do the breakthrough that he wants to do in your life. Don't dictate what it is, but invite him to do the breakthrough that he wants to do in and through you. Because this morning, on Easter 2026, what we are declaring is that Jesus is alive. And we are not alone. And his living hope is available right now. And his presence is behind us through the cross. And it goes before us through the power of the resurrection. And that surrender really is the best way to connect to the strength of God and invite him to do a breakthrough that he wants to do in us. And so stand with me for a moment, and I'm going to pray. And I would invite you, after I pray, any time during the entire next song, just bring your stuff up here. And you can spend time up here if you want to praying, or you can just drop it off. But let's pray together this morning. Oh, Jesus, we thank you on this Easter morning for you rising from the dead and allowing yourself to be handed over because of your love for us for our sins, and conquering sin and death for us, and now inviting us to be raised up with you through life in you. And Lord, we know that whatever the things are that people have written on this little card, these breakthrough cards, are dear to their hearts. And Lord, we offer them to you as a sacrifice of praise today, as a symbol of surrender, inviting you to lead us with your living hope to the breakthrough that you want to bring for us for your glory. And Lord, as this passage says, we give you glory and honor and praise as we surrender these things before you today. In Jesus' name, amen.